You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is sponsored by Codify, a California benefit corporation. Visit Codify at www.codify.com.
This is episode 93 for the 3rd of April, 2017.
This is Chris Webster, and on today's episode, we're going to talk about terrestrial laser scanning. I'm here with Kelsey Penninen, and we're at the exhibit hall in the SAAs at Vancouver. And Kelsey, how's it going?
It's going very well, thank you.
Nice. So I said we're going to talk about terrestrial laser scanning. You're a student at the University of Calgary. Tell us about what you're doing.
I'm a master's student at the University of Calgary, and my current research is looking at the utilization of terrestrial laser scanning at a bison jump site. To give you a little bit of background, terrestrial laser scanning is a method of creating a 3D point cloud of data. The method of capture is using a laser beam that's shot out of this really cool, about lunchbox-sized machine, and it shoots out a laser, well, millions of laser points every second, and it records the amount of time it takes for that laser beam of light to reach the object that you're trying to scan and then bounce back, and then that data is recorded in this machine, and it captures millions of points per second and captures with such high resolution that you can get millimeter scale precision of the object that you're trying to capture in this 3D point cloud. And then you can recreate a 3D model of that site with up to millimeter scale precision.
Nice. So what first off, for our listeners, what is a bison jump site?
Oh, well.
Let's back up a little further.
Oh, perfect. A bison jump site is an archaeological site located on the plains. So the plains is a culture area that spreads across kind of southwestern Canada and down into the northwestern United States. It's a very large geographic area, and the people of the plains, traditionally it was a grassland area, so they subsisted off of bison hunting as their primary source of meat, especially for the long winters to prepare. So one way they would capture large amounts of meat is to work together and drive the bison herd off of a cliff. And the bison would fall or break their legs at the bottom of the cliff, and the entire village would have to work together to create, you know, it was a very dangerous task. They had to drive the bison, they had to have people waiting at the bottom to kill any bison who may not, or who may have survived the fall, and then it provided enough meat to sustain the village over the long winter. They made pemmican out of the fat and extracted nutrients from the marrow to survive, and they were really interesting sites. So this one was discovered because of the flood that went through Calgary in 2013. It caused a river to divert, and it eroded away part of this site. So basically the site documents the thousands of years of bones that have accumulated at the bottom of this cliff due to the bison's perishing there and being used by the people. And now this river being diverted has begun exposing the bones. So there was actually students or some children who were walking down the river, and all these bones started just washing down the river beside them, and they were, followed the trail of bones and ended up finding this, it's about a 2 meter tall cut bank, just so that's like the sedimentary side of a river, and it was just absolutely chocked full of bison bones just eroding out of this facies. It was unbelievably breathtaking, and so we wanted to capture this really complex stratigraphic, especially because it's constantly being eroded away and undercut. So we implemented terrestrial laser scanning at this site to document it. Now we have this 3D model we can use to help preserve the site, and also we're going to go back in the spring and rescan it to see how much erosion has been occurring at the site.
Condition assessment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
So see if more preservation implementations have to be made to protect the site into the future. It's a very significant site, especially for the cultural heritage and the Blackfoot people who reside in that area.
Right.
Demonstrating their cultural history, their subsistence patterns. It's a very significant area. So
this site was clearly used more than once by First Nation people. You know, they would come back here probably year after year and do this kind of thing. What's the time frame, do you think, that has that been determined yet?
So this particular site, there is paleo, or pre-contact, I should say, sites that are points that have been found. We're still waiting on the radiocarbon dates to confirm. but based on the style, I guess, of it, they've affiliated it with a culture area. I think it's around 5,000 radiocarbon years before present, but then they've also found in some of the upper layers some historic metal, so they know it was used up until the contact period, okay. So the historic period in the area.
Nice.
I don't have any confirmed dates right okay. now because it's a fairly new site, but I think that was the most recent interpretation that I've heard of.
Cool. So I think the last question I have is, with terrestrial laser scanning, you mentioned that you scan it now, you'll scan it again later so you can get a condition assessment, see how it's changing. Is there anything you can find out with terrestrial laser scanning that you couldn't find out if you didn't do that? Like, what's the big advantage of this besides, I think, just having that model initially?
So part of my research is actually going to be exploring what sort of interpretive and analytical data can be extracted from the 3D point cloud, because with the terrestrial laser scanning, you get absolutely vast, really high resolution quantities of data, especially with the two scans for comparison. So I want to look at seeing what kind of geoarchaeological information can be extracted. This technology has been used in the fields of geology and geomorphology to document landscape change, and has also been used in geology to analyze stratigraphic deposits and reconstruct depositional sequences, which from a geoarchaeological perspective is very relevant. We want to understand the deposition sequences, how the bones are interacting with each other, the cultural deposits. So I want to see if that same information that a geoarchaeologist visiting the site and creating their stratigraphic profile and making these interpretations while physically being at the site, if they can make these same interpretations and extract the similar data from these scans, and maybe even in greater detail because of the objectivity of the laser scanner. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Kelsey, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC 365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor ARC 365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.